Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. B. Richard Ferguson.
How many times have you made a commitment to really get serious about prayer, and it lasts a little while and then peters out? Or you decided to spend some extended time alone with God, but after a few minutes, you just kind of ran out of things to say. In today's episode, I'll give you some very specific, practical ideas on how to commune with the living God in prayer. Is any one of you in trouble? You should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So those are the two scenarios, hardship or happiness. And it's not just those two, which is known as a mirism, if you like the seminary words. A mirism is when you refer to two extremes, and what you mean is not only those two, but everything in the middle. Okay, that's a mirism. We talk like this all the time. I worked on that thing night and day. That doesn't just mean 2 minutes in the day and 2 minutes at night. It means around the clock, right? Or, I searched high and low for my glasses. That doesn't mean I looked on the floor, I looked on the ceiling, and that's it. Everywhere in between is the idea. That's a mirism, and that's what James is saying. He's saying hardship, happiness, everything in between. Every experience in life, take it to God. In two words, James gathers all of life's experiences and say, whatever it is, the response must be prayerfulness. Look to God. Lift it to God. And the verbs are in the present tense, which indicates that this is a way of life. It's not just related to that point in time when you're undergoing that, but ongoing responses. This is a lifestyle. They should be a regular routine part of our lifestyle. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray, what? Without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. And just as an aside, I honestly don't know how you're going to do that musically unless you've got some song, praise songs and hymns memorized, right? Unless you're one of those people that can just create songs on the spot. We're going to have to memorize. I think Paul and Silas, they didn't have a projector, you know, with slides in the prison there. They didn't have a hymn book. They had something memorized. I'll tell you this, if you commit a few of your favorite hymns and praise songs to memory, just memorize them, you won't regret that. I promise you will not regret that. Pick ones that you'll need to express your joy, especially in happy circumstances that you frequently experience in life. Then you'll have it. Okay, so main point of this verse, look to God in absolutely every circumstance in life, lift it to God. And this starts to give us some of the insight into the why of prayer. It's important to God. Why? Why is it so important to God that I pray? What does it matter? I mean, He already knows everything that's in my heart, right? He knows my heart better than I do. He knows what's going to happen. He knows everything He's going to do. He knows everything He has planned. He has every day, one of my days written down in His book before one of them came to be, before the foundation of the earth. All the events, none of that's going to change. So why pray? Why does He keep commanding us to be devoted to prayer? What do you think God would say if you asked Him that question? You think God would say, if you say, God, why do you want me to pray? Do you think He'd say, oh, no reason really. Just, you know, I just, no purpose behind it. Doesn't accomplish anything. Doesn't do anything. I just wanted to, you know, command you to do something really hard just so I could watch you struggle. You think that's what He would say? Obviously, He's not going to say, we know He wouldn't say that. Because God's not capricious, right? He's not arbitrary. Which means God never does anything for no reason. And when it comes to prayer, He hasn't kept His reason a secret. There's a reason, and He's told us what the reason is. He's revealed it to us in His Word, exactly why He wants us to pray. And when we understand what that reason is, and we learn the principles of how to do it the right way, prayer can go from a burdensome chore that we just feel guilty about not doing to being the most satisfying, rewarding, gratifying, energizing time in your whole day, so that it's the best part of your day. Why is it important that we pray? Answer, because prayer connects us with God. It links us up with God. It's a joining of our whole life with God. Prayer involves us in what God is doing, and it involves God in what we're doing. And it's important for both of those. Prayer is important because God doesn't want a relationship with us where we are down here doing our thing and he's up there doing his thing and there's no connection. He doesn't want that kind of relationship with us, where we're just walking through life, not in step with him, not cooperating with him, not involving him in our lives, not involved in what he's doing. People who don't know God already live like that. That's how unbelievers live. He doesn't want that kind of relationship with us. As his children, God wants us to have an intimacy with him and to walk with him step by step, moment by moment, day by day, communing with him, side by side, involved with what he's doing, involving him in what we're doing. We want to be involved in what he's doing because what do we care about more than anything else in life? His will, right? The will of God. That's what we live for. We want that more than we want our own will. We love his will, and so we want to be involved in his, and we do that through prayer. And not only that, but we want to involve God in what we're doing. And that's important too. You want to know why that's important? Think for a minute about this. I mean, this is big. That's important because the purpose of the entire creation is for God to put on display his goodness, his supremacy, his wisdom, his power, to put his glory on display, right? And so how did he accomplish that? If God wanted to go public with his glory, and so he created everything, how did he do it? Well, he created this whole universe. He spoke this whole universe into existence, and right at the center of the whole thing, he placed these beings called humans. And he made them incredibly needy. He just made us black holes of neediness and weakness so that we would have to constantly appeal to his strength for existence. And God's eager to give it. He's eager to give us all kinds of wonderful things because that's the whole point. But he waits to do it until we pray. Because that's the objective, right? Is so we can see it coming from him. It can be seen as coming from him. So he's ready to dump it on us. He's ready to give us all this blessing. He's like, okay, pray, hurry up, because I want to dump it. But we got to pray first so it can be seen as coming from him. Well, there's so much more to say about this. We're not even done with verse 13. This is painful to stop this here. I tell you. There's so much more, and I hope you can be back here next few weeks because we've really got a lot more to cover. But our time is gone now, so let me just close with this. I started out talking about how it's normal to struggle with prayer, and yet it's so incredibly important that we find a way to do it. By the time we finish verse 18, I'm praying that your prayer life will be just radically transformed as much as mine was this past week. But for now, let me just give you something that might help you just take the first step. Okay? Just get it started. Here's a process that might help you with your daily routine alone with God. And some of you, you're not even having that. And if that's you, if you haven't been carving out a certain section of daily time alone with God, uninterrupted, I just urge you, try this for the next 7 days. Okay? Try this for the next 7 days. Find a place where you can be alone, undisturbed, for at least 15 minutes. And over time, that'll grow, but at least, you know, start with a manageable chunk. And start by asking yourself, okay, what's going on in my heart? Where am I in James 5:13? Am I suffering hardship? Am I happy and encouraged? Both? Neither? Something else? Ask, what are my circumstances and what am I feeling right now in my life? And then ask this, what would God desire for me to ask for when I'm experiencing these circumstances and I'm feeling these feelings? What do I need most from him today? And what do I need to most express to him? From my heart. What do I need to pour out to him? And then pray along those lines. And then, from there, go to Scripture. And this will help you if you're one of those people where you say, man, I pray and pray and pray and pray and pray, and I look at my watch and it's 45 seconds. you know, and it's like, oh, man, I don't know what else to say. Go to Scripture. And here's what you can do. Take a paragraph. Maybe you're just going through a book of the Bible. And you just take the next paragraph. Take a paragraph and just read that paragraph very slowly and carefully and thoughtfully 4, 5, or 6 times. Okay? Think deeply about it. Go beyond the surface, beyond the obvious. Just think, look at it from every angle. And begin to cycle back and forth between meditation and prayer. Meditation, prayer. Prayer is when you're talking to God. Meditation is when you're talking to you. About Scripture. That's, if you want a good example of meditation, Psalm 103, where the psalmist is talking to his soul, reminding his soul to what God has done. So, meditation, prayer, back and forth. Meditation is when you explore the concept and you start to unpack it and unfold it into fullness. Psalm 119, 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light." God's words in Scripture are folded up. Right? They're compressed. It's like a zip file on your computer. It's compressed. It needs to be unzipped, unfolded, expanded out with careful thought. Like Paul told Timothy, think deeply about this and God will give you insight. And there are some questions that will help you do that. If you don't know how to meditate, let me just give you a few basic questions that will help you. And here's what I would suggest. Grab a piece of paper. Just sit down with your Bible, piece of paper. And jot down the answers to these questions. First, from this passage, list everything the passage tells you about God. Any attribute of God. What does this tell me about the Lord? Secondly, list out anything that it tells you about yourself. What does this passage reveal about me? Third, watch for commands to obey, promises to trust, or new ways that God wants you to think about things. Jot those down. So now you get these three lists, all this stuff jotted down. And ponder it. Look at the whole bunch of it and just ponder all of this. And then, out of all those, that whole long list, pick one or two things, maximum two. Nobody can walk through the day thinking about 14 things. It's impossible. It's tough enough to remember one. In fact, for me, I literally have to write it on my hand. Or I just space it out. So maybe jot it on your hand or whatever. But pick one or two that you're going to just chew on all day. And of those one or two that you picked out, whichever in that whole list strike you as the most important for today, take those one or two and then answer these questions. How would my life be different if this truth were just explosively alive in my life? If I just really believed it with all my heart? What impact would that have? Think about that. Pray about that. What would I gain? How would life be better for the people around me? If this was really real in my life, what impact would it have on my wife, on my kids, and the people I work with? What problems tend to result when I forget this truth? Or how about this one? Why is God showing this to me now? Right now, today. What's going on in my life? Is this revealing anything I need to confess to God? Is it revealing something I should be grateful for? All right, what song would help me with that? What hymn would help me with that? Try to think of one. And you just do that, that will be a wonderful time alone with the Lord. And He'll speak to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you to the things He wants you to focus on. For the next 7 days, let's take steps towards greater devotion to personal communion with God in prayer. Father, you've invited us into your presence, and we're so reluctant to come. We're so busy. We got work, we got projects, we got family, we got all these important things, and we're too busy to take you up on your invitation to come and do the most important thing in the world. Oh Lord, bring us back to our senses. Make us be like the psalmist. Oh, I'm thirsty like a deer. When can I go and meet with God? Lord, I pray that over the next weeks, our guilt about prayerlessness would be replaced by refreshment and renewal and new intimacy with you.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, get our free mobile app. Install the Church One app from the Play Store and select Food for Your Soul. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.